Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
Drunk and Early with Center of My Joy. It takes us to 9 minutes after five. A very good afternoon to you. If you have just joined us, my name is Lukho Mkwediputi. It is Friday's edition of Spectrum. And of course, he is definitely not a newbie on air, but he's part of the family, actually. And this afternoon, I'm not flying solo, at least right now, I'm not flying solo because I've got Pastor Ray in studio with me. And we're talking all things men's dialogue, which I don't find odd, but it's a different way because I don't know if men do actually have dialogues. I don't know, but Pastor Ray is going to assist us with that. And just let us know if, because when you talk of a men's dialogue, it's an opportunity for men to speak. And when I say speak, I don't mean speak at, but I mean speak to one another. And do men speak? Actually, I don't know. We'll hear from Pastor Ray. Pastor Ray, good afternoon and welcome.
Thank you so much. Good afternoon.
How are you?
I'm okay.
You're okay?
Yeah. Like
on this chilly Friday, actually.
Yes.
Certainly is one.
Yes, absolutely.
I think let's start it here, Pastor Ray. Do men talk?
Men don't talk that much.
Exactly. Because I'm not just talking about having utterances, but do they? Because when you say men's dialogue, I'm thinking a dialogue.
Mm.
A man speaks and another one answers?
Yeah.
And another one answers and another. And I'm like, no, do men speak? But I always say, men have the most fun without us.
Absolutely. I think it is a tradition that has developed over the years, which is wrong, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
It is not morally right for men to actually align themselves with that kind of rhetoric. But because of the hegemony of things and how things have been orchestrated, and the roles that are attached to gender have made many men generationally to adopt the notion of a quietness. Inverted commas. But when you find them amongst themselves, they talk a lot.
Exactly.
I once went on to record a notion against the state that men don't talk. Then I went on, I took my microphones and cameras into a very popular bar in Soulsville Station in Atteridgeville. And then I switched it on. It's very small. These devices are very small. You plug them along the windows.
Oh.
And then we would listen, you know, on an OBV.
Okay.
And the noise was like it's bees.
They talk when they're together.
They talk. The noise was like you couldn't even hear who is saying what or what is being said.
Could it be that they don't talk because they feel we overpower them?
Absolutely. Men have been made to love. And to a great extent, they do not want to mess up with what they love.
Oh, okay.
So they'd rather suffer to keep what they love happy.
Okay.
So men, in a way, have been at what you can refer to as expendability.
Okay.
Where they actually are people who would rather keep quiet and suffer the brunt of what they did not do, or even what they did.
Okay.
Just to keep what they view as a treasure to them happy vis-a-vis their wives, you know.
Interesting.
Yes. And many would agree with that. It is why at times when there's a heated argument, men drop their volumes to almost silence. Even though he knows he's right.
Okay.
Because he loves his wife.
So he compromises his rightness because of love.
Love doesn't seek its own.
Okay. but yeah, this is weird.
Love forsakes its own right.
It's true. It's true. Because I honestly, like I'm saying to you, you'll get into a space and like you're saying, you'll hear them shout and talk, not because they're fighting, but because they're really having fun.
They can make some of the marvelous noises, man.
But then you wanna engage me like, and it's a...
Yeah. You know, the very fact that, you know, and I'm grateful to Bishop Dumom Timkulu of Men on Track, because I only created a platform called Men's Dialogue. And then there were, you know, generations of men who came into this platform to talk on the platform of Men's Dialogue. But when I met up with Bishop Timkulu, he brought a similar idea which is older than this one.
Oh.
Which is more developed. And then we merged
the two ideas.
Yes, we merged them. And then we came out with some of the most fantastic topics that relate to men.
Yeah.
And then the abuse and this is, it's just an umbrella topic. But men abuse. Men get abused.
Yep.
Men abuse substances. They abuse themselves. They abuse their finances. They abuse their roles. They abuse their health. So we'll be looking at it from a variety of perspectives. And that is why then, you know, Men on Track with Men's Dialogue on the platform being Men's Dialogue are coming on board and they are taking this and they are pushing it forward to men.
Wow.
And one of the most amazing things that I haven't said is that they are able to bring about 3,000 men together.
Sure.
We're no longer talking hundreds, yeah.
3,000.
Yes.
Amatawa.
Yebo, amatawa. Yes. We are able to bring men and then all across the provinces. And with the program that we have here on Radio Pulpit, we are able to talk to thousands and thousands of men. We are aiming at talking to at least 1.3 million men in a month, you know, which to me is possible.
It's it possible. Is. It is.
With the media outlets that are interested, you know, it's amazing. And the very fact of that we call people from various fields, academia, construction, laborers, community developers, social workers.
Men from all walks of life.
All walks of life, you know. They are coming to address situations from their perspectives because they are experts in those perspectives.
Yep.
If a guy who is a laborer or a guy who was once an alcoholic or a drug addict would best tell you more than a scientist who has developed a theory out of observations. This one has lived the life. A guy who has done a life sentence and has been pardoned, you know, after 25 years and his life has changed drastically. He's coming out to talk the things that had gotten him to that stage.
Sure.
And how many people he had met over the years in the jails, penitentiaries, have been there to die. Others wouldn't even last 2 years. When you get in, they tell you. So there's so much of the abuse and how the systems that we find ourselves in are abusing men. You know, how now preferences with regards to men, because of the scourge and the falls of patriarchy, every man is suffering.
Yeah.
Even though I did not create the system.
Yeah.
You know, and so we need to look into those things. So we're going to get a lot of people who are experts to look into these things and to address these things. But it's an ongoing process of talk, reformation, restoration, and restitution of man and his mentality to come back to what the Father is saying about men.
Yep.
And that is what I love about what, you know, the president of Men on Track, Bishop Dumom Timkulu, has been placing even upon us, you know, putting a baton on us and saying, look, go and do this and do this and do this and do this and do this. And he trusts us with the work.
Yeah.
You know, and then when we design platforms like Men's Dialogue, because it's a platform for men to really express themselves, to be themselves. So they take this and say, okay, even us, we can use this as a platform.
True, true.
And it helps quite a lot of people across every bar, you know, that would be a division amongst men. Men who are, you know, lightheaded, men who are strongly traditional, men who are very much democratic, men who are very much conservative. We're trying to meet all those aspects.
Yeah. Well, why is it so important for men to talk, Pastor Ray?
It's very important for men to talk because of the voices that speak to men in this time that we are in.
Sure.
And the voices that speak to men, number one, there's a voice that speaks to men that says men are dogs. There's a voice that speaks to men that says you can be healed if you can abuse your child. As an uncle, if you rape your knees, your knees, you can reverse the disease that you have. There are many voices of deception that speak to men, voices of anger, the voices of unmet dreams, you know, and the impossible expectations, the constant yellings that men are getting have caused quite a lot of men to bottle themselves up in a quagmire of noise. They are quiet, but they are bottling a noise, you know. So it's like a carbonated drink when you open it, when they talk. Yes, yes. You know, so we need to provide that because we have seen over the years, men have distanced themselves from the church. Because of what they hear inside. And men have decided to say, okay, let me get to what can bring me into a euphoria. Sports brings me into a euphoria. For a bit, I go into a stadium and I become this lion in a stadium. It's a euphoria for 3 hours.
Sure.
At least those noises get forgotten.
Yeah.
And then when the matches or this sports is over, the noises start again. And then he says, what? Okay, let me get a beer.
Then he's got to go back to his reality.
Yeah, yeah, because now he's afraid of those noises again. Then he gets a beer. And then he gets, you know, all those kinds of, gets into drugs so that he can quiet the noise. But the noise continues anyway. So the only way for the noise to come out, it's when he opens up his mouth.
Yeah.
And the noise comes out from his mouth.
Sure. Very interesting. Let's talk about men's dialogue. We've been going on about it. I understand that there is an event, like you said, where you're planning to join thousands of men together in one space.
Yeah.
It's called Men's Dialogue, actually.
Yes, it's Men's Dialogue.
Tell us about it and tell us what is the vision behind that particular day.
Look, the issue with regards to that day is first and foremost to bring men to a realization that you are not alone. Secondly, to, as we have done over the years, bring men to an understanding that the Father loves them. You know, the restoration of men into faith, and also to really call men back to our Creator, you know, to salvation, to the knowledge of Christ, to a fellowship with Christ.
Come on.
And to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And at the same time also to address issues that men are facing. So the vision behind this is for the total healing of the male person. And
how you said that, the male person.
Yes.
It's not just who we regard to be a man. Boys, everybody who's a male. Person.
Yes, yes. We have come to realize that they grow with what we call the intricate strength that is attached to them. Already a boy at the age of 8 with strength can overpower his own mother. You know, and we need to redirect that. You know,
sure.
Because some of the men grow up watching their fathers beating up their mothers. But not only that, the devil has introduced in the music industry a lot of rhetorics against women. And at the same time, putting the blame on men, whereas it is him who instigates this. And has called women snakes and all that and what. And then men should be weary of women, you know, in the streets when we were growing up. in the streets, we were weary of women because we thought, oh, these creatures are actually divisive. So you're better off without them.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Don't even have a girlfriend.
Then it becomes a gender war.
Yes, yes. It starts from the people you hear in the streets. I mean, I grew up in the streets. In the streets, there are hierarchies. It's not just people begging for those who are begging in the streets there at the corners. They're at the lowest, and they're waiting for people who are sitting somewhere else, you know, not even under the pipes. So there in that level, I was able to arrive at that level.
Sure.
And in that level, that is where you find the philosophy of the streets. You know, who gets killed, who lives for a while, who is becoming a bait. How are we going to bait the police? How are we going to get some women into prostitution, into drugs and stuff and stuff? How are we going to make others mules and all those things happening right on the nose of the union building? You know, so many of the people grow with that. That rhetoric has spread even from the streets, even into the homes, even into the suburbs, you know. And so men are damaged already. The male person is damaged already by the time they do matric and they pass. You just have to kneel and thank the father.
You know, because to get there has become quite an achievement.
There were hurdles. There were hurdles that he had to jump. So our vision is to address the whole men, the male person, to address also or to expose to the male person the things and hurdles that he has to jump from cradle to grave.
Sure.
And to say, you know what, you should desire to live up to the age of 82, 84.
Yeah.
I am from a group of people who never went through the age of 24.
Sure.
Many of my friends were gunned down and shot. And that's why this has pushed me to do this. You know, I've seen my friends dying. I've seen my friends hanging on ceilings, you know, killing themselves and stuff. I've seen that. You know, and people who are brilliant and people who had good parents, but somehow they ended up in the streets, who wanted to, you know, teach them great things, but somehow they got hooked up on things. And then we found each other in the streets, you know. Others have grown and have achieved things. Others are directors and managers.
Wow.
But others have died along the way.
Yeah.
Others die because they got diseases. Then, even though they changed their lives, it caught up with them somewhere in their 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
So it's a guillotine, you know. Men are beheaded throughout. So we need to address that. And then we need to also change the focus of men of the blame game, that they are blaming women.
Yeah.
And when they see that they are losing with women, it's the system. Without actually looking at themselves.
There's no sense of introspection.
Yes. So men need to look into themselves and say, okay, but some of these things, the problem is innate.
I contributed.
Yeah, it's within me. It has been tagged into my DNA. I can wash it off, you know. So that's what is pushing us towards this men's dialogue. And to see it grow the way also Bishop Mthimkhulu has come in to make this thing grow. It's amazing. I mean, we're people from Secunda. Big organizations of
bringing people through.
Yes,
from
all over. And so they will be coming in buses. Others are coming in bikes. They have motorcades and all those things and stuff.
Like biking associations.
Yes.
Nice.
But this is also to demonstrate to a guy who has been caught up in things. Others are coming in, and they are addicts. You know, they are coming in, but it is not coming there to demonstrate how good we have become, those who have become whatever, but to say we have started somewhere And by faith, we have arrived here. And by faith, we are still going further.
Yeah.
And to encourage men and to give men a perspective of self-worth, self-appreciation, self-love, self-respect. It's very important to look into those things.
I love what you said, Uti. You know, some of you have experienced these things. And I think a voice that says there's a way out is a voice that makes a difference.
Yes.
I mean, if I'm going through something right now and I don't see an exit, I feel like I keep falling back into the same cycle over and over again. A different voice, just maybe that different voice could save me going further deep into the issue.
Absolutely.
Just to know that somebody's been where I am and that they got out. For me, that's encouragement. I know there's people that don't want to be encouraged by you using your experience. But I'm the type that says, if I can hear that somebody has been through the same route and they've gotten through to the other side, it's hope for me. At least I know that there's still hope for me to get to the other side of the issue.
If someone has broken the record, it's now listed as an achievable.
Exactly.
You know? So you remind me, I met a guy who was the chief electrician of Pretoria West. I remember very well. I was 18 years old and I was dropping out of university because I didn't have the fees. I was going back to the streets. And I didn't want to go back to the streets because I know it's difficult to come out. You will die. They'll kill you. Literally, they'll kill you. And so he says to me, look at me, and I look at him, and I just see a rich man. He says, I see you are washing a shirt, because I was washing a shirt in a basin. And then he says, I see you are washing a shirt. And I look at you and I remember my youth. And I said, I stopped. I just became very angry. I stopped. I said, Dade Moleko, with all due respect, you don't know what you're talking about.
You don't know my youth.
You don't know me. You know, you don't know what I'm about. You don't know what I'm thinking. You don't know how angry I am. And you don't know that I don't even know who my mother is. You know. Everyone around me knows her except me, and how I continuously change her name when they ask me because I forget that I said it's Rosina last year.
We're not supposed to be laughing at this, but
I'm telling you, if you can check my history, you'll be shocked.
I actually, as you're speaking, by the way, sorry to cut you, I want you to come back and share a story, because every time you come in here, there's a snippet of it, and I feel like there's so much to it.
Yeah, because it is my point of departure, you know, it is my source of why I chose to be an academic, you know, to be an intellectual, to study. To do research, to look into the community and to see what can be changed. I remember this guy, I told him how much I was suffering and he cried. Now, this is a very respectable man.
A rich man, you're
he's
thinking.
He's crying in front of me now. He says, I lived a life just like you. And I look at you, I see there's a possibility that you could do something great.
And at this moment, you're going through a lot still.
A lot. My father has just told me, look, because, you know, I went to my father to stay with him for 4 years. And then he said to me, we'll take you to school, we'll take you to school. And then when time to go, and his wife said, you know, and yeah. It's okay, I understand. He's married, it's his wife, and I love them. But it broke me.
Of course.
Because it took me back to the streets. Now, I went back to the streets, and in the streets they were saying, welcome back, prodigal son. I remember they used to tell me that. I remember going to church, they would wait for me outside there. They say, if we hear that the pastor of this church is dead, please know that it is this guy.
Sure.
And I remember in that church, no one talked to me for 3 months, even the pastor. But I kept on attending that church.
Wow. And at least they didn't check you out.
They didn't check me out because they were scared of me.
Fear kept you in the doors.
So no one was greeting me except for this lady who became, you know, a teacher, a youth, a young adult teacher, who was talking to me and would always go and fetch me in the streets. He knew the corner that we used to live at, and he would fetch me. Come, let's go. And she was a nurse. So
wow.
She'd say, no, let's go. There are other guys who are meeting in the house. And then when I arrived there, it's about 8 of guys. And then I know some of these guys are from the streets. So this one I know is Celia. This one, you know, and so that's how, you know. So men's dialogue talks to people who were just like me. Or people who are just like me.
Yeah.
Men's dialogue is for people who are just like me, who are from the streets, who have a very bad background, who are rejected, who continue to be rejected because you have a bad background, who are told that, look, you don't have a sense of family. You don't have a sense of what. You are a broken vessel. You are what. Men's dialogue is for that. But also men's dialogue is for those who are complete.
Come on.
That are abusing their resources. And those who are also complete, but do not know how to effectuate their potentials. So we need to cover all those aspects.
Yeah.
So you'd see that the day of the 26th is a very, very large program.
Yeah.
And so we hope that it would work, it would start.
Yeah.
But this is not the beginning. There are many men on track. Events, men's dialogue events that would still come over. Men's dialogue being a platform. We're just like a skateboard.
Yeah,
and Men on Track is riding on us. It's showing the direction. This is the way to go. This is the way to go. So we're looking forward to that, you know, so that multitude should come. Come just as you are.
Yeah.
We'll give you a notebook, you write, and there will be men who will be sitting around you in group forms, you know, and speak. There will be times to speak, question and answer. There will be times for counseling or to start relationships of counseling, to align people with counselors who deal with particular issues. It goes even to health. And the guy who heads the oncology department in Baragwana, Dr. Mbodi, is a friend of mine. He will be there.
Oh, wow.
He's always there. He is actually a men's dialogue property, you know.
Wow.
So, and some also of the young adults who were doing medicine and have qualified, they are coming in. Even today we had sent them in Hammerskraal, you know, to work with some people in Hammerskraal. Many people, if you just go to Musamahao, you'd see people in Hammerskraal. And these are young doctors who have just qualified. But people who
helping
are
from in the community.
Poor backgrounds were riddled by the streets. And people would say, look, I know drugs. You can't tell me anything about drugs. I know drugs.
Wow.
But I chose to stop.
Wow. You spoke of the 26th. If you can give us more details, when exactly, where, what time?
Okay. The place is at Kangala. This is a township next to Bronkhorstspruit. It's about 25 minutes from here.
That's in Mpumalanga, right?
No, it's in Eastern Pretoria.
Oh, why did I think Bronkhorstspruit is part of Mpumalanga?
No, it's not. Actually, it's not. It's part of Pretoria.
Wow.
It's Pretoria East, actually, because it's just outside Cullinan. It's 10 to 11 Ks from Cullinan. So this will be happening on the 26th. We will be meeting there. The place is Ekangala Ministries and Developments, because it's a center, it's a civic center that we are building. We no longer build church structures.
We build
civic centers. I had stopped building a church structure, I think, 10 years ago, if not 15 years ago. But we build centers that we would leave to capable teams that would run those centers for those communities.
Yeah.
And stuff. So they will be there, and it's free.
Absolutely free.
Yeah, it's free. The only thing you pay for is food, and that is 60 rands.
Okay.
That would cater for your breakfast. It would cater for your lunch. It would also, it's 60 rands.
Wow.
It will cater also for your afternoon
snack. What? For 60 rands?
Yes, for 60 rands. Because we are not aiming at making money out of this. We are aiming at, you know, feeding the people adequately. And I'm not talking just You know, when they say food is 60 rand, and people run, and then you go there, you find, yo,
sandwich.
Your food. Yeah. No, no, it's not going to be that. It's going to be real food.
Oh.
Real food, real vegetables, real meat.
Can I show up?
Yeah, come and show up. And, you know, but it's just going to be lots of fun. You can bring your own notebook, or we can give you one. And if you say, you know, I want to know other men on track, you know, in my area, let's say you come from Northern Cape, or you come from Northwest, you know, you should be able
From Eastern Cape?
Yeah, from the Eastern Cape.
Ekone.
Yeah.
You even know Ekone?
Oh, yes, yes. No, I even know Pedi.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I used to produce quite a lot of groups that I've worked with, a lot of people there for years and years. So, and I know also of the corruption there.
Moving right along.
Yeah, yeah, right inside the church. Nevertheless, these people are, you know, we will be able to set you up with people who are doing the work in your area, because the aim is to spread the work so much. You know, this bishop, this vision of Bishop Tim Kulu, to spread it so much, and to use men's dialogue as a vehicle, you know, that can spread it as quickly, you know, more than he himself had anticipated.
Yeah.
And faithfully so, to continue to hear from him as the visionary. And then and also that, you know, as we created this platform, to be able to spread it so that others can start to use this platform in their own communities.
Yep.
It doesn't have to be large groups. Men's dialogue does not necessarily need large groups. You need two or three.
So don't think 3,000 numbers, like Pastor Ray said. You can start as three. I mean,
yes.
Yeah, the 3,000 started somewhere.
Yeah, you can have 3,000. And we go to have another event and there are 40 people.
Yeah.
You go to another event, it's only 18 people. It's in this beautiful hotel, but it's only the 18th of you. So,
true.
You know, so you go to another event, it is so packed. But the aim is to develop men, to set men free, according to Isaiah 61, you know. To declare men's year of liberty, not 2025, but men's year. His whole life is a year. You know, the favor of the Father upon a man and the male person.
Come on.
And that the male person comes back and looks at his own sister, his own mother, his own spouse, and then his own neighbor, his own cousin. And then he starts to become the protector, he becomes the provider, the friend, the brother, the cousin, a trusted vessel of the Father to, I don't say the opposite gender, because when you say the opposite gender, you're setting them as antagonists.
As opposition.
Yeah, but also to the fairer gender, you know, to say, I'm sorry that I did not understand you. I'm sorry. I had to do that, you know, over and over again. That,
yeah.
I'm sorry I didn't understand you. And me and my friend in America, Antoine Ziegler, there was a time we made a service, and then he would sit down and just apologize.
Wow.
And sometimes in Central Park in New York, and we here, we would gather in a park, and they would gather in a park, or they would do it in their own day, and they would do it in our, just to say we are sorry.
We're sorry.
To our sisters.
Taking accountability.
This is where what men's dialogue is all about.
Wow. Pastor Ray, how do we get hold of you guys before I say goodbye?
Oh, yes.
Details.
Yes, please. With regards to this one, it would be good to contact our administrator. Her name is Prudence. And her number is 076-869-6472. That's 076-869-6472. You can speak to her throughout with regards to this, you know, book your place there, you know, how many people you're coming with, where you're coming from. They can, you know, give you directions and stuff.
Absolutely beautiful. Pastor Ray, thank you so much. Thanks for coming through.
I appreciate it.
And all the best for the 26th.
Thank you so much.
God bless.
All right then.
Feel the pulse of the real life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? WhatsApp your name and your prayer request to 082-657-2729. And our care center will gladly contact you to pray for you. Tune in to Radio Pulpit on 657 AM for reliable Christian talk radio at its best. Find your daily dose of Christ-centered motivation and encouragement on Radio Pulpit 657. Download our app now. Tune in to radiopulpit.co.za or find us on DSTV Audio 882 and OpenView 607. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion for more than 40 years, brings a relevant moral alternative to 400,000 listeners in a variety of South African languages. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and download our podcasts today.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.